next up is Daf Tes, Yud Aleph Tishrei, and we were up to the bottom. We had just finished discussing the machlokes between three shitot on each side about whether one can carry the area underneath the korah, and we discovered there were a number of different possibilities here. Whether korah is b'shom heker or whether korah is b'shom mechitza, you could understand the mechitza is coming mechudo ha'pimi or mechudo ha'chitzon. If it's b'shom heker, you could understand that the heker is to the outside as you enter into the mavui, or you could view the heker as being for the name mavui, in which case it would be the part that's facing you from the inside. But what about, as Moshe Baruch raised the question yesterday, what about if there's a lechi and not a korah? What would be the din? Omer of Chista, this is the second of the large lines on Chet Amabed. Omer of Chista, Hakol Modim, Bebein Lechayim. This is not Bein Lechayayim. There are places where we need Lechayayim. We'll see, such as Bechotzer, you may need a pas on either side. This is not a reference to Lechayayim. This is between Lechis, as we would say in English. So the plural of Lechis would be Lechayim, probably, because they don't necessarily come in pairs, like feet. Of course, a lot of feet are also raglayim. Yeah, but they usually come in pairs. Yeah, I mean, Frankenstein, I think, had a problem. But in any event, however we're supposed to pronounce it, if the standard is lechayim, even if it's many, so it does not mean between two lechis. It means between lechis, in general. Obviously, there's only one in most cases. So it means in the area between the beginning of the lechi towards the inside and the end of the lechi towards the outside, everybody is moted that that's asur. Tosis explains that carrying in that area is asur, irrelevant of how we view the lechi. Because the lechi has no shiur. It can be very tiny. And the korah has a shiur. If we're going to allow you to carry between lechis, you're going to be right up against the Rishut HaRabim always. And therefore, it's too easy to go directly and carry from Rishut HaRabim into Rishut HaYachid Yoraita. And therefore, irrelevant of the question of lechi mishum mechitza, and which area of the mechitza, and so on. Anyway, we ask her. The Tosis brings proofs to this, which are Nogea Gemara's later on, and we'll wait until we see a little bit more of that. But in any event, let this not trouble us in terms of the lumdus of it. A simple gezerah. Bonei Rami Bar Choma Mirav Chista. Here is an extension of the idea that we touched on yesterday as to how the Korah works. Because suppose you were no suppose you put in two nails sticking out of the edges of the Mavui into the Rishut HaRabim, and you put the Korah up on them instead of up on the wall of the Mavui. So essentially the Korah, let's get your pictures, since the deterioration of imagination since the age of illustration has apparently become endemic, so that the simplest ideas require now illustrations. So here, picture 57 has a wonderful full-color illustration that should help even the biggest of TV watchers to figure out what we're talking about over here.
So you've the next generation is no different whenever you tell a story to kids. Show me the picture. I can't see.
So you've got two pegs, basically, sticking out of the walls of the Mavui. The Korah is on top of the pegs. So now what this seems to remind us of is the question that we dealt with yesterday. Does the Korah work from its inner edge, or does it work from its outer edge? If the Korah works from its inner edge, then for all intents and purposes, the wall of the Korah comes down and covers over the front of the Mavui, and there's no problem. But if the Korah works from its outer edge, then you've got a gap, which is the thickness of the Korah itself. So you'll say, okay, big deal, but there's still Lavud. Ah, but Lavud doesn't work with virtual mechitzas. Lava takes a physical machitza and virtualizes it, but it can't start with a virtual machitza. So you don't apply lavud to a p kora yorek vesotem, so to speak, because it doesn't really exist. You can't be malaved something that's itself only virtual. So therefore it ends up with a machitza that's not attached to the mavri, and therefore it doesn't affect the mavri. In which case, what we should have is a reversal of the shitas. If you're matir using the area under the Korah, then in this case you would aser using the Mavui at all, because you're the outer edge of the Mavui, the outer edge of the Korah sticking away from the Mavui. On the other hand, if you aser carrying under the Korah in a normal situation, then over here it means your inner wall is closed. So fine, the inner wall is right up against the door, and it's all closed up. Therefore, says now, Reb Chisda, To Rami Bar Chama, the answer is simple. L'divrei ha-matir asur, l'divrei ozer mutar. It follows directly from the sugya we had yesterday. And it depends whether a korah works with its inner edge or its outer edge. So if it works with its inner edge, then that means it would be asur in normal circumstances to carry. But over here, it would be mutar because the inner edge is right up against the entranceway of the mogui. Mashenkin, if you normally are matir carrying under the korah, in this case, since the korah is suspended outside of the mogui on pegs, it now has a gap. And according to him, it would be asur.
Talking about above and below the space.
We raised the issue at the beginning of the set as well. Correct. It's what we were referring to back there. Yeah. Omar le, so ledivrei amatir asur, ledivrei aser mutar. Rava says no. Ledivrei haoser nami asur. There's another issue you're not taking into consideration over here, which is the way in which the takana of Korah was originally stated. And the way that Korah, the Rabbanu were matir with the Korah, is where the Korah is al gabe hamavui. The entire din of the Korah being a machitza is a chiddush. It doesn't really follow the din of machitza, because normally you would need a serious tikra that covers over a four tefachim in order to be able to have pi tikra yoreif v'sotem in terms of the halakas, probably. The truth is that Tosfos suggests, there's riots later on, that the din of a Korah mishum machitza may well be a diorita. But in any event, the point of the takana of Korah was have a Korah on your mavui, not have a mechitza that's virtual because of a Korah attached to a mavui. So therefore, even though you're maybe a very smart guy and you figured out that this should work just as well, it is not the way that the Rabbanu were matir a mavui. Either you've got a Korah in the mavui or you don't. And since you extended the mavui with pegs and the Korah is not really on the mavui, it's not the Korah to specification. And therefore, everybody holds that it's asur. Esri ravad b'maslu rova. You claim that the original Gezerah specifies that we have to have the Korah Gabe Amavui. What are you going to do with the following braita? Haita korato meshucha otluya. If you had your Korah hanging or extended outwards, now that sounds as if it's talking about the following two illustrations, 58 and 59. If you've got a tluya, that means it's supported by a pole. You know, basically doesn't have those illustrations. I apologize.
This one has them.
58, it's not 58?
No, it's not. This is not the correct one. No, they didn't bother illustrating it. I'm going to go crazy with the illustrations. See? And where's the other one? No, also not. This is the Gemara as it ends up being, but not as what we thought. So what we think that this means is that it's mishucha, meaning it's extended outwards, such as the case that we just had with pegs, or it's hanging, that's the case with the pole, in which it's now doesn't come up to the sides. It's sort of hanging loose, but it's within the area. And in both of these cases, it says, ein tzarich lo hevi korah acheret, if it's pachot mishlosha, if it's less now than three tvachim, we apply lavud to the korah. And we say that the korah is, for all intents and purposes, within the area that it has to be. If it's more, if it's three or more, then tzarich lavi korah acheret, but this korah doesn't count. According to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, who all over Shas holds that the shir of lavud is actually four tvachim, not three tvachim. So according to him, pachot mi arba tvachim in tzarich lavi korah acheret. If it already hits arba and it's no longer lavud, tzarich lavi korah acheret. Now, is the way to understand the case not that my lav mishucha? You say mishucha, usually you mean it's stretched away from something. So mishucha would mean that it's outside, it's mi bachutz. And just the case you had before with the pegs, it's mishucha outside. And the other case is tluya, is that there's something holding it up from the middle, inside, and it doesn't reach the edges of the wall. And that's how I would understand it, which proves that you, Rava, are wrong. Because it says over here, as long as it's within three tvachim or four tvachim, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, of the wall, the ends of the mavui, it would be okay. And you said, even if it's right up against the mavui on those pegs, it's no good, because you need to have it literally on the mavui as part of the specifications. Now, what are you going to do about this? And says Rava, what I'll do about this is tell you that you didn't understand it correctly. Mishucha and tluya has nothing to do with inside or outside. Mishucha simply means it extends outward from one wall. It's not hanging in midair. Meaning that you screwed the korah on the top to one side of the mavo. It didn't reach all the way to the other side. So it's mashuch from the wall, from the edge of one wall. Whereas tluya means it's basically mashuch from both walls. Well, how do you do that without a force field? Just stick a pole in the middle. So we call it tluya, it's hanging. That's all. It's just a question of how you extended it. So one case is talking about where, now we get to picture 59, where it's Mishucha from one end, so it's attached to the top of the opposite wall. A diving board, exactly. A diving board. Right, so the dive, can you show that, Nadine? Yeah, just show the picture there. And the other case was the case where we said, well, yeah, well, there's a pole in the middle that holds it up, and now it doesn't reach either side. So it's basically the same case. You say, why do I need to repeat the same case? Because, very simple. You might have thought that you can't apply lavud to create a kosher korah from both edges. That there's no problem. So it says first the simple case, and then tells us, and even the more complex case.
Does that mean you could get three or four tefachim on each side?
On each side. And it would be kosher. Ravashi Amar? Ravashi said, that's not the case. Ooh. Telstone showed up, both Telstones showed up. You'll have to come right over here. But it's a dangerous place because if you fall asleep, you get a poke. It's okay, across you could get a kick. I don't know what it's worth.
Any place is kind of in the line of fire.
Ravashi says the case is very simple. It's not Mishucha o Tluya. Because there's no. If, once you apply Lavud, what's the difference whether it's on one side or the other side? Where'd you get that from? That wouldn't be a good explanation. The way to understand it is that it's one case. It's Mishucha and Tluya. Ve'echi Dami, what would be that case? This is picture number 60. It is raised above the area of the wall by two pegs that are at an angle, at a 45-degree angle, holding them up, but within the hollow of the wall. So it's mashuch from the walls, and it's
different. What do you call it?
And it's tamuy. Well, the second Steinsaltz illustration is obviously based on the picture in Rome of the shape of the menorah. No, I'm being very serious, because the word alakson is used in the creation of the menorah. The question is, does alakson mean the way we use it in English, that it's a diagonal, which is the way the Rambam has the menorah as being straight, or whether alakson would also mean a curve going up. In order to avoid buying into the Rambam's menorah, clearly they've created over here a standardized menorah, because after all, the arch of Titus is certainly going to be reliable, I suppose. I don't know otherwise why we would have to have a curved. Chabad has it straight.
It's
a problem here. He may get thrown out of the whole cult. It's terrible. Things haven't changed.
When Michelangelo was in chapel, he built a scaffold that doesn't touch the ground. It goes from one wall to the other, so he could reach the ceiling. And it's, like, when I first asked him, this must be where he got it.
This must be. There's no question about it. No one's attending such a case. So it's Mishucha v'Hitluya, v'Hidami, k'gon sh'na'at sh'tei yetedot akumot, al sh'nei kotlei amavui, she'en begovhan shlosha, rather, v'en v'akmumiyotehen shlosha. So you've got now two pegs that are sticking up at an angle on both edges of the mavui, which are not raised above three, and you don't have the distance of three on the diagonal either. So in other words, by the point you reach the place where the korah is suspended, it's not three or four, according to Rabbi Gamliel, tefachim away from the wall, not on going up, and not from side to side. So ma'o detema, what's the chiddush according to this? I'll tell you, there's a chiddush. Because in this case, we have two problems. One problem is that the korah doesn't reach the wall on either end. But the other problem is that accepting Rava's din, that a korah has to be on the mavui, this korah is not on the mavui, because it's extending upwards. However, another principle of halakha, which is similar to lavud, and by the way, the implication here is that the correct way to pronounce lavud is levot, not lavud. Because it's not lavud, that's for sure. But levod would be lashon tzivui. Levod means extend. And the other way of saying lavod from height downwards is chavot, push it down. So it's the same principle, either chavot or levod. Levod means extend it outwards. Chavot means push it downwards. In this case, we'd have to apply both principles. Chavot, to get it between the two walls of the mavui, and levod, to get it to attach to the two walls of the mavui on the side. And therefore, I would have thought that you can't apply both height and width extensions to the same piece. Kamash malan, that you can. And therefore, that's already reasonable.
How many have such a case?
Are we saying that the A, the hypotenuse is the 3, or can the hypotenuse be the, not 4.5?
No, 3.
Why would those extensions sort of count?
Because the size of a korah has to be large enough to satisfy requirements. And over here, it's just pegs. You need to have a tefach, it needs to be strong.
So the pegs are too small.
Pegs are too small.
So if you're combining them both, why can't you combine the measurements in one?
What's that?
If you're combining them both, why can't you combine the measurements? If you can have both.
What measurements?
What are you three thinking? Going down and three...
Mean 4.5.
For the reason you just said to me.
I'm not following. What does one have to do with the other? Levod kicks in at the shear of 3 tefachim.
Okay.
That's all. Simple as that. Tony Reb Zakkai, Kabeda Reb Yochanan. Reb Zakkai said over bright in front of Reb Yochanan that Bein Lechayai V'tachat HaKorah Nidon Kikarmelit. Whatever you have issues about carrying, the question of whether you can carry into the Mavui, and so on, one thing I'll tell you is that underneath the Korah, between the Lechis, the area itself is defined as a Karmelit. And we know the definition of a Karmelit is you can't carry Arba even inside of the Karmelit itself. Because it's similar, we're machmir to give it a dinim v'shut rabim. To which Rabbi Yochanan said, Hok tani levra, you could go teach that outdoors, but get it out of my Beit Midrash, it's ridiculous. Om Rabbi, what was Rabbi Yochanan's objection? Mistavra milted the Rabbi Yochanan tachat akura. I would assume that Rabbi Yochanan objected to the application of Karmelit to the area beneath the Korah. But he would agree that Bein Lechayin is Osir. V'Rov Amar? No, I don't think so. I think that Rabbi Yochanan would have actually argued on the whole thing. And even the Bein Lechayin is also Mutar. And it's not considered to be a Karmelit. And I'll prove it to you, says Rava. Omer Rabbi Minah Minala. Dechiyata Rav Dini Om Rabbi Yochanan, reminding us of the good old days back in Masechet Shabbat, where over there we were taught so many times that a Malkom She'en Bo Arba Al Arba'a Mutar Livnei Rishut Arabim Ulivnei Rishut Ayachid Lekatef Alav Ubilvad Shelo Yachlifu. We know that there's a concept called a Makom Ptur, which allows you, whether you're in Rishut Arabim, to put your burden down on it, to put your backpack on an Amud, as long as it's not the shear of an actual Rishut Ayachid. So if it doesn't have 4x4 and it's not 10, and it's not the particular case of 9, which was a Batot Rishut Arabim, you could put your backpack down. So in other words, if you have now an area, let's imagine, an area in a Mavui, entering into Rishut HaRabim, you've got this little piece over here that's clearly less than 4, because it's under a Korah between lines, and Fachim. So now, according to this, you should be allowed to put your backpack down in an area like this. So, okay, I understand that over here you couldn't do that, because a Mavui really is Rishut HaYafid Yoraita. But certainly, as far as defining the area per se, can I carry within it, it satisfies all the requirements of a Makom Ptur. We're not going to be more machmer on it, are we, because it has the additional machitza? So therefore, it should be, as long as we don't let people switch burdens. In other words, you put your backpack down, I'm standing in Rishut Yachid, I'll pick it up. Because that, even though it's mutter technically, because this is bottled to both Rishuyot as a Makom Ptur, we don't want you actually transferring from Rishut Rabbim to Rishut Yachid, or vice versa. You're going to come to do it directly. So certainly the area over here underneath the Korah, which you're trying to define as a separate Rishut, fine, separate Rishut, very nice. What kind of separate Rishut? A Karmelit? Nonsense. A Karmelit has to be 4 at least, and this isn't 4. So therefore, we'll define it as a separate Rishut all you want, but you can certainly carry within this separate Rishut whatever you think about taking out of it. So therefore, I think Rabbi Yochanan was infuriated by both parts. He thought it was ridiculous. He told him, go outside. Don't teach that kind of stuff in here. Rabbi says, no, I don't think so. Because the reason that over there it's delineated as a Malkom Ptur is because it was 3 tefachim high. If it's not 3 tefachim high, it doesn't get a name of a Rishut B'Fnatzmo at all. And therefore, in this particular case, we would say that it's similar to a Karmelit for not being properly delineated. And as a matter of fact, I can prove that. Not like you. Om Rabbi Minah Minah, I'll prove to you that actually, if it's not Gavoa Shalosh, so then Rabbi Yochanan, in fact, would have been made that the din is that, you'll notice, all of this was Rabbi Yochanan, right? Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said, we're trying to figure out what did Rabbi Yochanan object to. Rabbi Yochanan himself was the one who said that it's a Malkom Ptur if you have an Amud. So that seems to show that Abaya was wrong in saying that Rabbi Yochanan would have agreed that Bein Lechayayim is Asur, and in fact Bein Lechayayim is Mutar. Says Abaye, I will prove to you that that's not the case. Minah Minala. The Yom Rav Chama Bar Guri Yom Rav, Toch HaPetach, Tzarich Lech Yacher Lahatiro. If you now have an area within a door frame, you need, in order to be able to carry, or in a case of a Mavui, where you have thick. I think we should probably have another fine illustration. Yes, 62, actually. 62. So there, I think that's it, isn't it? Yeah. So Tochapet, I mean, you've got a movui that has a very large area in which there's an extension of the walls that serves as the lechis. You end up having two lechis, basically. I mean, they're not really lechis, they're big walls. So you end up with a large area, a large area. Now the question is, can I carry within that area? So it says over here, well, if you want to carry in that area, you're going to need another lechi, or the edge of that area, as it opens into Rishut HaRabim, another lechi to be mata carrying within that area. Okay? So you'll need now another lechi to use the area between these two ptsimim, really. They're not really lechis, they're so big. But to use the area between the ptsimim. So that means that you can't carry in that area. In which case, now, I know what you'll tell me. You'll say, okay, maybe even though it has tocha petach, didn't say how big the petach was, maybe it's referring to a petach where it has bedafka, arba al arba'ah. And over there, once it has arba al arba'ah, then it's a carmelite. And the only way we were being matur, and I was being matur before, according to Rabbi Yochanan, to use bein lechayayim, is where it wasn't a carmelite, in which case it had less than arba. How do you know that it's talking about more than arba? Because Rav Chonin bar Rava quoted Rav himself as saying that Torcha Petach Av Apisha Ein Bo Arba Larba Tzarech Lechi Acher Latiro. So how do you explain that? Why isn't it just a plain old-fashioned Makom Ptur? So it means, therefore, that Rav Yochanan would agree that we don't apply it in a Makom Ptur where it's not raised, and over here it's not raised. Since it wasn't Shlosha Tvachim, rather, raised above the ground, it doesn't have it in a Makom Ptur, which happens to be the Halacha. The Rava says Rava, well, yes, but that's a particular case. It's not simply because it wasn't raised. It's because it's talking about a mavli that was opened into a carmelite. It was opened directly, not into a Rishut HaRabim. It was opened into a carmelite, and therefore you can't carry. What? Are you trying to tell me that if it's a Rishut HaRabim, then it's mutter to carry? But if it's opened to a carmelite, then it's usher to carry? Like, what happened over here? Yetziva v'ara v'giyura v'shmei shemaya. What, we've already arrived at the situation that we have nowadays in which citizens are down on the ground. It's the visitors that are treated up there like they're worth something. So you're telling me that the citizen is garnish. Rishut Yachid, big deal. Who cares about Rishut Yachid? The tourist over here, the carmelite, that's already worth something. It will be machmir. That's ridiculous. Nobody would ever do that. Nah. So how would that be? He said, yes, exactly, that's the case. Why? Because we have a concept of matza min et mino. You see, where you're all alone in your unusual idiosyncrasies, nobody notices, but when there's two of you, now it becomes already a cappella. So now when you've got this area, when you've got this area which doesn't have any kind of particular value, okay, so then fine, it's a makom ptur. But the moment it backs up to an area just like it, which is a carmelite, it's a neither here nor there. You got two neither here nor there's, they're both usher.
Except for the size, in other words.
What's that?
Except for the size, it's the same.
Except for the size, it's the same. And so, in other words, we now look at it all as one big mokum usher to carry arba. That's how I would look at it. And therefore, in the case of a normal bein lechayayim, when it abuts a Rishut HaRabim, I still maintain that even there would be mutter, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Not like Abaye says, that it has to be misuman by being raised three tefachim above the ground. All right, so we have an interesting concept over here. Now, matzah min es mino. You really hold that Rabbi Yochanan, we're not talking about what you hold, we're talking about what you hold Rabbi Yochanan would hold. You really hold that Rabbi Yochanan would hold that between the lechayim is matzah, and you don't agree that bein lechayim is also the way Abaye said. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Here's another maimer of Rabbi Yochanan. That a mavui should itzafo b'lechayayim, or pachot pachot mi'arba, banu machloket, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel v'rabbanan. Over here, you basically made, what do you call the wall coverings when you use the little slats of wood to cover the walls?
When you
panel, yeah, exactly. That's the word I'm looking for. So when you paneled the edge of the mavui with lechis, you might as well go all the way. What the heck? So you go all the way from the edge of the Rishut HaRabim. Let's say you go into the lechi quite a distance, into the mavui, quite a distance using now lechi for panels. you're not going to be caught dead with one of these halachic things. I'm going to at least disguise it, you know. So it's, so it looks now like the front of the lefty is paneled. Now the front of the mofi is paneled. So now the question is, says over here that if it's more than three tvachim between each panel and the next, but less than four, banu lemachloket rabshimim ramliyom v'rabbanim. Now we've got the question of whether the shear of lavud or lavod is three or four. Because according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, the Omer Amrin and Levod, so Mishtamesh at Chudo Hapnimi, Shalechi Hapnimi. According to him, this is all one lechi. Okay, so if it's all one lechi, you can only use, since you're only allowed to use to the inside of the lechi, so the whole area that you paneled is one long lechi, technically speaking, because it's all lavud, one piece to the next. And so you won't be able to carry, you thought you were being smart, you won't be able to use the whole area up against the street. Because only the inner, and there's only one lechi here. You say, but what about these separate? No, they're not separate. They may look separate, but you're missing the force field. So in terms of lavud, it's all one piece, according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Whereas, according to the Rabbanan, the Amri, lo Amrin and lavud, since according to the Rabbanan, they're already three tvachim. Once they're three tvachim, then they're separate pieces. We can effectively ignore the innermost ones because they don't serve any halachic purpose. And the only one that's your lechi is the one up against the Rosh HaRabim. So according to the Rabbanan, you could carry all the way up until the innermost, the end of the furthermost lechi, closest to the Rosh HaRabim. By the way, there was such a beautiful, beautiful picture of this paneling. This is good quality wood. Did they see the veneer over there?
The safer costume.
Now, this is geschmack. Very, very expensive lefty.
It looks like that, but then you can't carry it.
So, now,
if the lechi is expanded to past four tvachim, does it change?
No, because once we define where to carry vis-a-vis a lechi, we're not going to say, well, it depends on your lechi. And that's a given. That's a very good point. So now, according to this, it's so wonderful when Richie's here. So according to this, what possible difference does all of this make if you're allowed to carry in the area between the lechis? You're claiming you're allowed to carry the area between the lechis. So who the heck cares? Whether it's the innermost, the outermost, whatever. You can carry in the area of the lechis. So then there's no difference with the old Rav Shimon Gamliel and this Rav Yochanan. There should be no difference with the old Rav Shimon Gamliel or if you're old like the Rabbanan. Because anyway, you can carry up to the edge, huh? So I ask you. So clearly, you can't imagine that Rav Yochanan would have said that and still hold that it would be mutter to carry between the lechis. Obviously, Abaya is right, that the only problem that Rav Yochanan had with the Tanu who was speaking about a Korah and a lechi was the Korah part, not the lechi part. So how are you going to explain this? The Rava, says Rava, well, I'll explain very simply. That's talking about a Mavri that opens into a Carmelite. Aha! When it opens into a Carmelite, then you got serious problems already. And opening into a Carmelite will be Machmir. Machmir? What? My shari? You mean if it was opening to Rishut Rabbim, then it's okay? Yetziva biara v'giyura v'shmei shmaya? That's the way you treat your citizens while the tourists get all the good stuff? It's another application of the same halakha. Rav Ashi says, I have a brilliant explanation of this, in which it makes the whole question of whether he holds using between a lechi is yes or no absolutely irrelevant. The question is a different question over here. It's talking about that all of that beautiful paneling was extended all the way 4 amot deep into the mavri. And the issue over here is an entirely different issue. If you hold that you have to be malabed and look at this as one long piece of paneling, you just created a new mavri. That's the question. If you had separate lechis, fine, you got separate lechis. It's all in the mavri. But once you create an area that is marked off from the rest of the mavri to 4 amot, as we already saw, the normal extension of a mavri is 4 amot, so now you've got a new mavri. Where's its lechi? So you've got to put a lechi there. Ah, so this would be tzarech lechi acher la'atiro. Very simple. So Rav Ashi amar kedon sheritzpo v'lechayayim. But by the way, the word ritzpa that we usually mean, we used to use for a floor, is only because it's beretzef. In the Lashon of the Gemara, there's no difference between paneling a wall and paneling a floor, as long as it's ratzuf. Ratzuf doesn't mean floored. Ratzuf comes from the word ratzef, so that when you don't want dirt between your tiles, well, at least nowadays, you remember the old balatas, we have to dig in to get the dirt. But so it's supposed to be covered by ratzef, so if we use the word ratzuf for a wall, it means exactly the same thing, it means panel. We don't have two separate words for it in Hebrew. So you were miratzef the wall, bilachayayim, pachot mi arba. But it was b'meshech arba amot. So according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, who holds that all of this is one long panel because it's included in lavud, avilei mavui, you just created another mavui. And therefore, it needs a lechi acher la'atiro. Whereas according to the Rabbonan, the Ami lo amrin in lavud, lo tzarich lechi acher la'atiro, because you've got the lechi all the way at the end, which is the lechi, in a single mavui. There's no two separate mavui. In which case, it has nothing to do with the question of whether you're allowed to carry between lechis. Ha! Tell me that's not smart. Now, the question is, how about the people inside? Would they be allowed to be mitaltel using this entire big panel as a lechi, basically, because they have the edge? So Rashi initially says, look, I mean, the pshat that's accepted is that yes, because to them, the separate mavui is also a lechi. But personally, he says, linear ed, that this whole thing is no longer viewed as a lechi, because it's a different mavui. We can't use it as a lechi, even for the people that are inside. And we'll see that relates to the sugya that's coming up. Asks the Gemara, and how about according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel? I understand now that yes, it's brilliant, but there's another issue over here. Even if you hold that it's one gigantic lechi, and therefore it's become now another mavui, it is a mavui that is discernible from outside. Let it be lahave kinira mi bachutz v'shave mi bifnim. Now Rashi learns the reason that the Gemara is asking this is because the standard mode of creating paneling, in order to avoid the sense that there's no lechi there, is to extend the outermost panel slightly into the Rishut Arabim, such as over here. Note that it juts out, Shobat Abib, it juts out a little bit from the wall, so that as you're walking down the street, you notice that this wall extends outwards a bit. Therefore, right at the edge, you can catch the three-dimensional effect here. Unfortunately, they shadowed it in the wrong direction. Yeah, it would have made a lot of sense to reverse the light source, which would have been very easy to do with a click of the mouse. But what can you do? So you've got, therefore, here a question of, assuming that this was done the way it normally is, it should be nikar, that is to say, nir'eh mi bachutz. So even though when you're standing in it, it looks like there's nothing until the Rishut Rabin. But if you're standing outside, you see that this is actually clearly delineated, and it's not part of the mavui itself. And we will see that there's a sheet that holds that nira mi bachutz, even though mi bifnim it shaveh, is okay. By the way, of course, we've had a lot of discussion of that issue, because the question of a mavui extending into a chotzer, where the edge of the mavui collapsed, is exactly that point, isn't it? It's nira mi bachutz, because you can see the tzimim on either side of the wall, but it's shaveh mi bifnim. So it's similar to this issue. Does what is recognizably a separate reshut from the outside have any impact on people that are on the inside, since from their perspective it's not noticeable? Let's see, we're going to interrelate all of these subjects as we go along. Anyway, that is the pshat that Rashi has. The Tosfos doesn't like that pshat. The reason he doesn't like that pshat is because if we are being matir until the chudo achitzoni of the lechi, according to Rava, then that would mean that we would be allowing you to carry outside of the mavui, which is, of course, ridiculous. So how would we suddenly change things in cases where it's nira mi bachutz? In this case, where we're talking about carrying to the edge. Therefore, Tosa suggests the exact opposite. And what it means is that you pulled the paneling in a bit so that it shouldn't get cracked in it by people that are walking outside, and therefore the edge is nikar as going in an indentation so that you could see that from the outside of the indentation as you're walking by. That's exactly the opposite case. Okay. We'll get into the nira mi bifnim and the bachutz and all the machlokas as we go along here. Answers the Gemara, what's your problem? Your problem is that we should view this as being, as not requiring another lechi. It's not a problem, because you're coming here to explain Rabbi Yochanan's mimer about the implications of the machlokas with Shimon Galil and the Rabbanan, right? I got news for you. Rabbi Yochanan happens to be the author of the Shita who holds near me bachutz v'shavah b'vifnim. Ain't no nidun mishum lechi anyway. So what's the problem? It's all going to leave the Rabbi Yochanan. So midi u'taima. Hello, Rabbi Yochanan. Are we discussing anything here except in terms of Rabbi Yochanan Shita? Rabbi Yochanan. Kiyosha ravinam Rabbi Yochanan. Near me bachutz v'shavah b'vifnim. Ain't no nidun mishum lechi. It won't help you anyway. So therefore, when we say tzarech lechi acher la'atiro, it's perfectly consistent with Rabbi Yochanan and Shita across the board. Itma, nira mi bifnim. v'shava mibachutz, nidon mishum lechi, nira mibachutz v'shava mibifnim, then we have a machlokas. So now let's get our cases straight. You can have a lechi that is noticeable inside, but outside is not noticeable. Now that's the most typical thing in the world. That would be simply a case where you have lechi extending on the same level of the wall, it extends outwards, and therefore is not noticeable as being bolate. Nobody in the Rishut HaRabim knows, this is picture number 65, nobody on the outside knows that this piece is any different than the rest of the wall, because it's on the same level as the wall. They have no idea that inside it circles around and hits him and hits on the other side. So it's only noticeable inside, not outside. Now, of course, you could have the opposite case, which is picture 66, where you only see the lechi sticking out if you're out of the mavui. But if you're in a mavui, it looks only like an extension of the walls of the mavui itself. So that would be nira mibachutz, shave mibifnim. So, the Gemara asserts now that if you've got a case where it's nira bibifnim, that's not a problem. Because the main function of a lechi is that if I'm in the mavli, I need to be able to see that it's distinguished from the Rishut HaRabim, which I clearly see. The question is, how about the other way around? It's nira mibachutz. So if I were standing outside of the mavli, I could say, oh, look at this. They put this up here to make certain that the mavli wouldn't be confused with the Rishut HaRabim. Looks to me like there's a petach here. I understand why. In there, they're carrying. Out here, they're not carrying.
But it's
what?
Which is the essential aspect of the Zera, so I don't view the people...
Not necessarily. Right. No, that's not true. That's a machlokas in the Pirsha of Rabbi Yonatan and Rabbi Yonatan and others. We spoke about this in the beginning of the Sechta. It's not so posh, but because it's a theme that goes about in the Sechta, we'll wait to see more things about it. Nira mibachutz v'shava mibifnim, if it's noticeable on the outside, but not on the inside, we have a machlokas between Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon bar Revi. The other thing is, we don't know who said what. But we do know that there was such a machlokas. Chad amar nidon mishum lechi, v'chad amar eino nidon mishum lechi. Now, we always, when we have situations like this where we don't know who said what, we always like to make it clear and figure out who said what. Tistayim, this is the standard formula. And always when you say chad amar, we have any indication, we always bring a tistayim. Let us conclude from another location that it was Rabbi Chiya who was the one who said that nira mibachutz v'shava mibifnim is in fact a kosher lechi and it's nidon mishum lechi. Why do I say this? The Tani Rabbi Chiya, because Rabbi Chiya quoted a braita as follows. Kota, shitzido echat kandus mihavero. If you've got a wall which has in it a problem in its thickness, some of its thickness was eaten away, so that the wall is marked as being different in one place than the rest of it. Now this could be done in two ways, either 67 or 68. In 68, when you're standing inside the mavli, you see that the edge of the wall is eaten away before it reaches the Rishut HaRabim, which creates basically a marking to distinguish the mavli from the Rishut HaRabim. In 67, on the other hand, you would only notice that this wall has a marking on it if you're standing outside. Because inside of the mavli, it looks like it's the same as the rest of the wall. Now, here, Rabbi Chiya is the one who says, it doesn't matter whether it's nira mibachutz or shava mibifnim, or whether it's nira mibishum or shava mibachutz, in either case, it's nidon mishum lechi, which clearly shows that according to Rabbi Chiya, you do not need for the lechi to be visible inside of the mavli. It's okay, they don't need to, but they often go out. So therefore, it's marked, and that's a perfectly kosher distinguishing mark of a mavli from the Rishut HaRabim. Indeed, tistayim. Let us conclude that therefore it was Rabbi Chiya who was the author of the shita that says nidon mishum lechi, and it was Rabbi Shimon bar Revi who said eno nidon mishum lechi. Because I have no idea that there's anything that follows. As far as I'm concerned, it's the end of the wall.
Yeah.
Now, let me just ask you something. Did Rabbi Yochanan hear this braita? Rabbi Yochanan obviously heard this right. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan, believe me, if Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan were arguing about this, I mean, then he would have heard about it. So he must have heard this braita and rejected it as being a not reliable braita. Shmielei v'lo sovelo. He didn't hold of this braita. So if you're telling me that Rabbi Yochanan rejected the braita, so then maybe Rabbi Chiya also rejects the Braita. He's just quoting it. Rufianamilo Sobara. Maybe he's quoting it without agreeing with it. Ah, come on. I mean, hi, my. Bishlemi Rabbi Yochanan. Lo Sara, lo Mishamalach, lo Taniba. If I don't agree with it, I don't say it. It wasn't Rabbi Yochanan who quoted this Braita. It was, coincidentally, Rabbi Chia who quoted this Braita. If Rabbi Chia, he didn't hold of the Braita. Lamali Lamitna. So why does he have to be the one who says, oh, here we got a good Braita for you? No. It's not a good Braita. Tosus points out we do indeed find places where Amoraim, especially in the transitional years between the Amoraim, the Tanaim and the Amoraim, will quote Breitot that they don't agree with, but not where it's with a contemporary who's arguing with you. Because if a Rabbi Chia now, then we know that there's a problem, which I have a machlokes. I'm not going to quote a Breitot, which I don't feel is reliable, that supports the opinion of a contemporary who holds otherwise. So it makes no sense for Rabbi Chia to have been telling this Breitot, unless in fact he really holds of this Breitot.
Wouldn't they say, I'm calling a Breitot, but I don't agree with it? Wouldn't they make that statement?
No, because it's not your place. In other words, the fact that you're quoting it means that you've determined that this is indeed something that is valid. Yeah. Omer Rabba Bar Bachana. Nira mi bachutz v'shava mi bifnim. Nidon mishum lechi. Now Rabba Bar Ravuna was sitting around, and he was saying that a case of nira mi bachutz, which is not noticeable inside, is indeed a perfectly valid lechi. Comes along Rabba to say, and here we finally get to the crux of an issue that we kept sweeping under the carpet. I mentioned it to you earlier, and we spoke about the problem. We never really faced it head on. Omar Rabba, so here is where we did face it head on. Umutvina Nashmaitu. We brought a raya from the Mishnah later on against this Shita from the famous case of Chotzer Ketana Shenifrit Saligidah. Now here is basically the mocker, what you would think is the mocker, of all of the issues that we've been talking about until now, in terms of the Movish and Nifritza, or in terms of Nira Bibichutz, Vishava Bibifnim. Because what is that case other than the classic example of Nira Bibichutz, Vishava Bibifnim? Remember, we had a Chotzer Ketana that was Nifritza Legedela. Okay, so we have a smaller Chotzer that used to have a wall running straight across between it and the adjacent Chotzer. All of a sudden, the wall collapses, and now the people find themselves in one long, large chutzah. The people who live in the larger chutzah, it says in this Mishnah, don't have a problem. Because to them, the areas on the side of the hole, you don't notice it's a hole here because they make it such a clean break.
But,
yeah, jaggy it up, and then it'll look a little better. So how about that? Does that have a nice jagged edge? So at least you know you're talking about a hole? No. No jaggies. Okay, because there are
plenty. This has a wall, but I don't know
about that. Okay. No, that goes later on.
Jagged's harder to do, yeah, right?
Well, no, it could be because they thought that would be already gidufi. So it would be
neat. Oh, it's not gidufi. It's just leftover wall.
Yeah.
Not so much the same.
No, it's from the outside, but not nicker at all from the inside, so there's no way to indicate it. So the people that are standing in a larger cluster see the ends of the wall extending outwards from what is now ostensibly a doorway, an opening, because it's less than 10 amos, remember. It also can't be larger than 10 amod. So it's not larger than 10 amod. So now, the picture is a little bit strange. The reason for this picture is because of what's coming up. And yet, we might as well start and, bite into it right now, because that's going to be a case that is required to have them nearly the same size in order to avoid other issues. So in this case, it says the people in the outermost chutzah have no problem, because to them, there are tzinim on either side of this smaller chutzah. But the people in the inner chutzah who don't see any markings or indications that the end of their chutzah is a doorway at that time, they see it as being completely open and there's no marking. They have a problem because they don't have any marking on their chutzah, and therefore, as far as they're concerned, they're mu'urav with the other chutzah, and they're not going to be able to carry unless they make an eruv with the people in that other chutzah. Okay, but now this seems to clearly define for us that something which is nikar mi bachutz doesn't work for the people mi bifnim. So it says over there, gedola muteret uktana asura mipnei shehi ki pitcha shel gedola. Now the one that was smaller is just another door into a chutzah. Door doesn't aser in a chutzah. So there'd be no problem over here. The imita, if you are right, says Rabba, that nira mi bachutz v'shava mi bifnim is nidon mishum lechi. So then over here, I mean, I understand it's not lechi, because a lechi isn't meaningful. One lechi isn't meaningful in a chotzer. But over here, you've got two ptimim on either side. right? And those two psimim on either side are nearer mibachutz. They're just not nearer mibifnim. But the same way that a lechi should be okay if you claim if you see it from the outside and not from the inside, why aren't these two psimim okay if you see them?
That's only if it's less than 10 amos wide, right?
Yeah, yes, correct. Well, it's 10 amot or less.
Or less.
Yeah, so that's always important to make sure we don't confuse that. So, therefore, according to you, in ita, ktana nami lishtre, the innermost chatzah should be mutter because it is a case of nira mibachutz v'shava mibithim. Now, remember, we mentioned this yesterday when we were talking about the ostensible machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, which turned out not to be a machlokas the way we thought. But we thought that they were arguing in both issues about whether a pirza keneged, the mavui, is considered to be a pirza. And I would say they're arguing in nira mibithim v'shava mibachutz. So we already brought this up quickly. And I mentioned to you there that the only way to continue to hold that inside it's not considered to be a marking, where outside it is to say that the case over here, because if you're going to apply the nira mibachutz bifnim, you're going to have to explain the Mishnah the way the Gemara now is about to explain it. And that is, it's talking about, he will have to say that it's talking about in a case in which b'nichnasim kotlei haktana l'gdola. So what happened over here is that the walls do not end the way you said they end. What happened is that the original wall of the smaller chutzner extended into the large chutzner. It was bolet. When we break down now that wall, we're still left with the belita on the edges. Which picture is this here? Here, a 70. So what happened is that originally the smaller chutzner extended into the larger chutzner, and those walls that extend in are still extend. It's only the long wall that broke. So now when you're standing in the large chutzner, you don't really have proper pitsinim for the smaller one. You can mark it as being distinguished, but you don't have the technical requirement of tzinim on the walls of the smaller chatzin. So bishlema, if those walls were solid up until the edge like we originally thought, so then, fine. Then we would have, in fact, tzinim, because those walls extended on either side, a nice, thick, clear-cut markers on either side from the outside. But now we don't have nice, thick, clear-cut markers from the outside either.
The wall's too thin.
Yeah, it doesn't do it. It's not a pitzim. It's a wall.
So why is it mutter for the gedola?
It's mutter for the gedola because it's clearly near as a petach for the gedola.
Okay.
That's okay, but it doesn't have the technical requirements of simim to be mater pitzachim in our chutz. So therefore, in this case, it's no good. Says the Gemara, now wait. There's another problem over here. These walls indeed extend into the large chutz. Okay, but what's the distance between the extension of the wall and the wall of the big chutz? Because remember Lovewood, if the extension of the wall isn't pulled away from the wall, the full wall of the outside chutz, three tvachim or four according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, then basically we have a solid tzimin on either side. Because even though it doesn't look solid, but it's solid because of Lovewood. So why doesn't that work? So you'll try to tell me it doesn't work because it's far away. Well, who's, I mean, maybe it's 30 feet on either side. I mean, why should you even think that there's a Lovewood issue over here? Ah, I'll tell you why. Because you're going to try to tell me the maflegate tuva that it's very far away. There's no lover. No. You see, and now we understand why you have to make this funny picture in which the ketana was almost the same size as the gedola. Because Tani Rebada Bar Avimi Kameda Rebbe Chanina, what we're talking about over here, to avoid any confusion, is even a case where the ketana is be'eser and the gedola is be'achadisre. You could have a difference between the ketana and the gedola of one amah. Now, if you have a difference of one amah, then that means you've got three tvachim on either side, but a wall has some thickness, doesn't it? So that means you've got less than three tvachim between the edge of the wall and the edge of the other reshut. So then you have a lovely problem, which is probably one of the things that Rav Adi Bar Avimi wanted to express, just to make sure, to make our lives more complicated. So there's no easy way out over here. So that means that even if you extend the mechitzas into the chutzner gedola, you're going to have to explain to me why you don't have kosher ptsimim that are near in mibachutz, because you do, using lavud. And the only thing is that it's clearly telling me, therefore, that near mibachutz v'shavah mibifnim is no good. And you're claiming that when it comes to a lechi, that it is good. There's certainly no difference technically speaking, I mean, conceptually, in a lechi that's nirav mibachutz, and tzimim that are nirav mibachutz. Either you hold it a marker bachutz, a shava, and is useful for bifnim, or you don't. So I understand how you can explain the case over here. Ah, tani rev adam, I'm a revina, I could tell you. Because if you split the amma the right way, see, I mean, you got to get down into the details over here. If you split the amma the right way, you end up with lovehood only on one end. Because let's say you've got a total of six tvachim. So let's say you've got four tvachim on one side, and you've got two tvachim on the other side. So then you only have lovehood on one side. And the question is, if you've got one patsim and not two, so he was telling us much more than we thought, man, oh man. You never know what may be beneath the surface over here. So if you have only one patsim instead of two patsimim, then it might not be kosher. So it's been muflagim mikotos abishnayim. So you've got two tvachim, distance between the jutting out wall and the standing wall of the chotzer gedola on one side. And on the other side, you've got four, which is picture number 71. There you go. In picture 71, the wall juts out on one side, four tvachim, and then the other side, two tvachim. Of course, we're not talking about how far it juts out in.
No, that's what
we're talking about how
you're talking about. You're not looking
the distance. This is
the sideway, not the wall.
No. So it's very simple, the case. Except that you now have one side that's loved. The two side is loved. So according to that, why don't you say, V'lema loved mi ruach achad v'tishterei? Why can't it be loved on one end, and you have now a kosher patsim, and if you all nirim b'chutz v'shava b'bifnim is good, then this is nirim b'chutz v'shava b'bifnim. Answers, I mean, Amara, it's going according to Rebbe. According to Rebbe, you need a pas on either side of a chotzer that is broken into another chotzer. The Tanya, chotzer niteret b'pas echad, Rebbe omer b'shnei pasim. Of course, this isn't going to work, but we have to wait for the next exciting episode until Motzei Shabbat.
Eight o'clock.
Seven.
Can I see a show of hands? How many people want eight as opposed to nine?
Eight.
As opposed to seven.
Okay.
No. How many people want seven?
We
got a lot of seven. How many people want nine? Nine thousand. But it looks like seven is close. Can everybody know? We got more people want seven. Can we make a seven and a half? Going. Seven and a half.